It's great to be with so many of you in person the Sunday after Easter. I was thinking to myself as we started worship how pleasantly I was surprised to not be by myself in worship the Sunday after Easter, which just goes to show that instead of doubting Thomas, it should really be doubting Stina, who, you know, I mean, we all go through our ups and downs, right? And it is a joy to be with you in this Easter season, because that is one of the gifts of the Christian year, is that Easter lasts for 50 days. And we hear in the traditional scripture readings constant stories of Jesus' resurrection narratives where he shows up, because it's kind of hard and unbelievable news to soak in. It doesn't come naturally. It's bizarre, you know, talking about anyone who has risen from the dead and what all of that means. And so in the season of Easter, we find that Jesus has incredible patience, and we're going to read through a number of the different stories where he shows up. He surprises people with joy. And not only do they get a chance to get a glimpse into what it means to encounter the resurrected Christ, but they find that he comes inviting them to then go and do likewise, to join his mission and to be sent out in his name. And that's the twofold part of the Easter season, allowing that mystery of Jesus' resurrection to permeate very personally into each and every one of our lives, as well as to receive the joy that comes in following in the footsteps of Jesus and to not be afraid. But of course, when we start that narrative, we find the start of the Easter stories are that people are really afraid, right? They are huddled in a room. They have locked doors. They don't understand and know what's going on. And we find that Jesus has incredible patience with them and shows up. And I love the part of our scripture reading where Jesus is like a patient parent and, you know, extends his hand and lets Thomas stick his hand, not only in his hand, but in his side. Isn't that part kind of weird too? I mean, let's not overthink that one too much, but like, it's kind of weird. But because Jesus is so concerned about making sure that we can get it, right? That we feel like God extends out to us, has the patience and the encouragement, wants us to understand and claim it for ourselves, so that we are not stuck feeling lost or confused, but that we too are filled with joy and peace. And like John says, that in believing we may have life. That's a wonderful thing about the Gospel of John. Jesus is constantly talking about that. All of this is so that we can have life and have it abundantly, not only in the life to come, but here and now. And that is a key piece to the Easter message. And some of this is actually why, then, for our Easter series, as we think about images, about how God calls us forth and to be a resurrected people, I am inviting us to play around with the idea of seeing things a little bit like being launched into space, okay? You have to really put up with me, because, I mean, I grew up right in the heyday of people sending everybody out into outer space. So as a kid, you know, it was like natural to play astronaut and want to talk about all of these fun things. And so I do think, though, that there is something to talk about when it comes to understanding the Christian life as being launched and to be set out on a great adventure. This is not our only image of the Christian life, but I think is especially fitting in the Easter season. So this morning, I want us to start, as we think about this Easter image of being launched, is thinking about rockets themselves. Now, I have brought a little bit of show and tell, so I'll put my Bible down just for a moment. As I was looking up a little bit about rocketry, and I was looking through a lot of the stuff that NASA prepares, NASA actually, through a lot of their educational pieces, said the main way you could think about a rocket is actually a balloon, okay? And that's because at the core of a rocket, it is compressed air in a chamber, okay? That's the first part that you need to know about a rocket. There has to be compressed air in a chamber. So they show you this image of a balloon. Now, what's wrong with this balloon? It's tied, right? There's one other important part to making, I mean, I could do this, like, and who as a kid didn't love doing this all the time? In fact, I'm gonna have to put this down because otherwise I'll just do this the rest of the sermon. But it relies too much on my own power. There's one other part that you need in order for a rocket to launch, and that means there needs to be some place for the air to leave, right? So it can have thrust. So really, what's a real rocket? It's this. So when you have a rocket, you have to let go. But yeah, well, thank you, Lori. But the problem, what's the problem with that rocket? It has no direction, right? It has absolutely no direction. It has no goal. It had no way to guide anything. And so really, when we think about rockets, even though it starts with this sense of like compressed air and some place to let the thrust out, there are actually four main parts about a rocket. So for all of you who love science and STEM, this is your sermon. If you don't worry. Like, I made you talk about poetry in the fall, so it's like due. All right, so there are a couple parts that you need to know about a rocket. And I actually think there's a lot here about our spiritual lives. We're not going to get into it all today. But there's four systems that you should take a look at. The first is that you need to have some kind of structure, right? You need some kind of container, because just being a blob is not going to do very well in a rocket. It needs to have the structure. And you can see all the little parts that they label out. The second system that you need is a propulsion system. You need something that's going to get that fuel going, right? And the little nozzle that'll let all the pressure out. The third system that you need is a guidance system. You need some way to direct the rocket. Otherwise, we're in trouble. We're all in trouble. And the fourth part is the payload system. So what are you carrying? What is your payload? Now, a lot of times rockets are used for very deadly purposes and their payload is horrible. In this image, what I want to think of is more of like that sense of space exploration, so payload being like people. So I think I'm going to let you play around with this image, but obviously in our Christian life, we too are a little bit like the rocket, because sometimes in our Christian life of faith, I want to play with my balloon again. We like creating that perfect balloon, right? Oh my goodness, this is the prettiest balloon, and I've put it on a string, and it looks great. But that's not really doing anything, is it? It's just a nice balloon. It could be kind of cheery. It's not totally useless, but it's not the real power of the balloon. Now, for some of us in our life of faith, we also think, oh, it's just as easy as letting a little air out. And, you know, the Christian life of faith is not that hard. We could just, anyone could do it, sort of. But when you see that there's no guidance system or structure or, you know, aim, it's like that balloon that just went fizzling out. It didn't even last that long. It wasn't very successful. To be successful in our life of faith, we need to not only have some kind of propulsion system, we also need structure. We need guidance. And we also have to be clear about what we're carrying and where we're going. Like, all these things need to happen in order to be successful in launching. The other thing I want us to think about a little bit as we consider the image of a rocket, especially in the Easter season, is I think what captivated the hearts of many when we started the space exploration. And it's seeing a renewal and a resurgence right now. And what I want to lift up, and especially when it comes to understanding the Christian life of faith, is a reference to a speech that President Kennedy gave in 1962 at Rice University when he was talking about, oh good, some of you remember this speech, and maybe if you hadn't, been around when he gave it, you might have heard this part of this quote. I do recommend actually watching the speech, because you can do that now, thanks to the interwebs. You can watch the whole speech. But what he said in 1962, when they were talking about why go to the moon, right? Like, why has this been your goal? Why are you working so hard? This is a little crazy. Maybe there's other things we could be doing. He said, we choose to go to the moon in this decade and do the other things, not because they are easy, but because they are hard. Because that goal will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. Because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept. Now, one thing that I want you to consider this morning as we consider our Christian life of faith is that we too, especially every Easter season, are called and encouraged by God to accept the mission again. And you know what? Like Kennedy mentions here, it is something that is very hard, and that it is something that will serve to organize and measure the best of our energies and skills. And as Kennedy mentioned, because that challenge is one that we are willing to accept, that we too need to constantly make the decision to say whether we are going to do it or not, because it takes intentionality and care. And I hope that in this Easter season, you are willing and eager to accept once more the mission that Jesus is placing in your life, to live as a disciple of Jesus Christ in the world. Now, where that takes you may vary. Where your specs need to be may vary. And why we gather together is important, because we're here to support and encourage and equip and all the other things together. But there's one thing that I want to lift up, because this morning is really just kind of setting the scene about being launched into whatever that mission is that God has placed in your heart, is that more often than not, before you start on a grand adventure or try and go launching yourself into the moon, it requires a little bit of reflection and reviewing the mission, right? It takes time where you've got to sit down and think about what you're signing up for. And for the disciples, we have image after image, especially in the Easter season, where that's what they're doing behind closed doors. And it is rightfully so that for the disciples, when they looked at the mission and when they considered what was before them, they found it pretty terrifying. It was not an easy, exciting thing to say that they wanted to jump up for. It was like the idea about going to the moon, right? I mean, if you ever watch any of those space movies, usually the astronauts are really excited about it, and then their wives are terrified. And, you know, that, and they're also terrified, but they don't want to tell their wives they're terrified. Because this is really a heroic, incredible thing that they're going to undertake. And that is true. That kind of same kind of heroic energy is true of what God summons of many of us in our Christian life of faith. It may not be actually going to the moon, but there are things in our life that God is constantly calling us to do, to stand up, to say yes to the adventure, or to maybe do something that we think is beyond ourselves. Because the Christian life is not a safe life. It's not a life lived in fear behind the closed doors. Consistently and regularly, especially in the Easter season, when Jesus shows up, he says, "Do not be afraid, I am with you," right? In this scripture lesson, when we heard from John, he breathes on them the Holy Spirit and says, "Peace be with you." And what does it say in the scripture? They were filled with joy, right? They were ready. They were ready to do something incredible and hard. And that Jesus gave them, right, that clear mission. They were ready to sign up and go. So this week, your homework, I'm not even asking if you want it, I'm just going to give you homework, is to think about what is the mission that Jesus is putting on your heart this Easter season? What is it that God is getting ready to launch in your life? Take time. Think it over. It's okay to be a little scared. It's okay to talk with a few friends. But know that when you have that clarity on what that mission is, God will be with you to equip you with all those other parts so that you will be ready. And it will be amazing. Thanks be to God. Amen. You know what? I got so excited that I also remember now that in reflecting on that, I was going to give you a moment to actually think about it before we move to the next thing. And I have a special video prepared that will give you a chance to then think about the mission of this Easter season and reflect and pray about how God is calling you. So, as you consider what your mission is, let's take a look at this video and see how God speaks.
It happened. Jesus rose from the dead. He defeated sin and death forever. It happened. The stone was rolled away. Jesus walked out of the tomb, and he lives forever. And now that Easter's over, it's our turn. We have been born again into a new life. We are dead to sin, but alive to God. No longer slaves to this world, but set free to pursue God's righteousness and embrace the gift of eternal life. We have been bought with a high price through Christ's redeeming blood. We have been made temples of God's Spirit, free from condemnation and reconciled to the Father. Though we may struggle here on earth, we press forward to our eternal homeland, walking in faith and with confident hope that the one who began this good work will bring it to completion. Jesus rose and the gates of heaven opened, and that victory alone means that nothing can separate us from God's love. This is why we hope. This is why we worship. This is why we give. This is why we go, pray, baptize, teach, and preach. And we'll never have to do this alone, for Jesus will be with us always until the very end. Easter may be over, but for us, it's also just begun.